The WPKY Saturday Morning Quarterback Show is on the air on 1580, 103.3 WPKY and WPKYonline.com. Time to take a look back at last night's Caldwell game. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
The Caldwell County Tigers went to Fort Campbell last night and came back with a big 31-0 victory over the Fort Campbell Falcons. Tigers improving to 2-1 in district play. Welcome to Saturday Morning Quarterback. We're live at the Biscuit Barn and Ice Cream Eatery on West Main Street this morning. Coach Will Barnes joins us, and Coach, that had to be a happy bus ride back from Fort Campbell last night.
Yeah, it was a good win to go over there, and kind of had a slow start, but really responded in the second half and pulled away. And, that's what we wanted to do, was go over there and get a win and take the next step and try to get a home playoff game.
Well, it was nothing at halftime last night. You guys came out, put up a couple of touchdowns in the third quarter, put it away in the fourth quarter with 17 more points. I guess the big question is, what was the big halftime speech, and what did you guys fix at halftime?
There wasn't any, big motivational rah-rah type speech. It was, really felt like on the, particularly, the offensive line just needed to pick the intensity up a little bit. And, if you go back and watch some of those plays in the second half, Connor King and Brady Holman really, I think, kind of took that personally and, really controlled the game in the second half. And we ran the ball at will. And then when you're able to do that, you can get a little bit of a play-action pass game going, and it makes it a lot easier throwing the football. So, didn't play great offensively in the first half, played pretty good defense. They didn't score, but we, even though we weren't playing great offensively, we didn't turn the ball over, and we're, that's a really big deal to not give them short fields. And that was why it was 0-0 at halftime. We weren't down two or three touchdowns.
Seemed like the offense was just a little out of sync in the first half. I mean, what do you attribute that to? Because it seemed like the Ballard game and the Mayfield game, the offense had kind of been making progress, and then in the first half last night, we just kind of stalled a little bit.
Yeah, it was kind of a weird deal. It wasn't like we were going three and out. We were able to move the ball, and then once we got it, down around the 20 or 25, just shot ourselves in the foot a couple of times and weren't able to keep moving the ball. So, we'll go back and watch and try to make some adjustments. And when we get into those situations, that's something we've been practicing, the red zone offense. We have periods of practice where we work on that stuff. So, doing a better job of getting us in good plays and being more conscious of, maybe not taking as many shots at the end zone when we get there, trying to get more positive yards on first down where you get into a little bit more manageable downs and distances there.
Big thing from last night's game, though, you get the win. You've won 2 out of 3 and still in line for maybe a number 2 seed from the district for the playoffs, and the number 2 seed gets you a home playoff game.
Yeah, that was, after once we started that Ballard game, we kind of laid out the rest of the season and what our goals were. And obviously before the Ballard game, it was to beat Ballard and get that first district win. And then now we're trying to, obviously didn't beat Mayfield, so we're not going to be able to get the 1 seed. So the next best thing is to be the 2. And what we can control, we've got to go beat Murray. Now, last year we found out, crazy stuff can happen sometimes, and you do what you're supposed to, and you don't get the 2 seed. But the only thing we can do is have a good week of practice and get ready to play a good Murray team to take the next step to try to get that home playoff game.
Yeah, we keep talking about how it seems like every week we have a big game and a big rivalry game. Well, Murray fits that bill.
Yeah, and it's really historically, I guess, has been a big district game for a long time. So even though there's been some times where we haven't been in the same district, when we've played and it's been district ball games, they've always been really good games and really competitive. And you know, we've got a lot of respect for their football program for sure.
We'll talk a little bit later on about the district seedings, but that number two seed's so important because we've gone back to playing the other district this year in the postseason. So if you get a home game, you don't have to go on the road, and maybe you minimize travel a little bit in the postseason, and always fun to play at home.
Yeah, it is, and it's a big deal to play, you know, at home anytime, but especially when you can play at home. And yeah, the travel definitely plays a little bit more into it this year with going to the cross district. So you know, that's something, you know, we want to do, and if we want to do that, we've got to you know, obviously beat Murray next Friday.
Yeah. So that's a big game coming up next week at Tiger Stadium. Murray High will be here Friday night. And again, the winner of that just about assured the number two seed. Like Will said last year, Murray went down to Mayfield and got an upset. So that kind of threw the seedings into disarray just a little bit. And we ended up having to go back to Murray after we thought we were going to get a home game last year.
Yeah, and it was, you know, that RPI was like razor thin between us and them. And, you know, I think they'll be ahead of us this year. So we won't be on pins and needles the last game of the year like we were last year. But, you know, we've just got to take care of what we can take care of and, you know, have a good week of practice and get ready to play those guys.
Last night, a 31-0 win at Fort Campbell. Again, all the scoring coming in the second half for the Tigers. Will, it's always a little different atmosphere when you go to Fort Campbell to play. It's a little different bus trip, a little different getting on post for fans, and it just seems like I'm not sure we've ever gone down there and gotten off to just a really quick start.
Yeah, since I've been coaching, I guess we've just gone over there twice with COVID and all that. You know, we went, I think, 18. It was the last time we were there.
Because they didn't have a team in 2020 because the Department of Defense would not allow them to play.
Yeah, so 18 was the last time we went over there and, you know, really played about the same as we did last night early in the ball game. You know, I think they actually got a lead on us. And I don't know what it is. You know, that time it took us about 45 minutes to get in. So, you know, that maybe was a reason. But last night we got in pretty easy. And I don't know. I don't know if it's just a combination of kind of being off routine and with school being out and then going over there on top of it. But, you know, we've got to do a better job of coming out and playing early in the ballgame.
Offense got rolling there in the second half. Ended up with 300 yards for the contest. And good to see those offensive numbers coming back up.
Yeah, and really dominated the line of scrimmage in the second half, and that's really those guys up front doing a good job and you know, increasing the intensity a little bit in that second half and really got after people. If we'll carry that over the rest of the year, you know, we'll be able to continue to run the football. Passing game still a work in progress, and you know, we're hit some plays, but like I said earlier, when you can run the ball consistently and then throw in a play action, it makes it a lot easier in the passing game. So if we can continue to run the ball, I think we'll continue to get better in the passing game.
A little weird feeling at halftime last night, though, because, like I said, it was 0-0. It kind of felt like you guys were in control at times in the first half, but at the same time, you missed some opportunities to score. So a little concerning when you feel like you left some points on the table and it's 0-0 at halftime.
Yeah, you know, that's a great way to put it. You know, I felt like we pretty much controlled the entire game, but it was 0-0. And, you know, that's not always a good thing, or really never a good thing, when you should have 14, 21 points, you feel like, and you have zero. But like I said at the beginning, the important thing was, you know, we were pretty solid in special teams. So when we did punt, you know, we were able to get it off and flip fields a little bit. And then, you know, we didn't have turnovers. And if, you know, that's a really big deal. If you throw in one or two turnovers where, you know, they have a short field or they turn it into a touchdown, you know, that's a big time momentum play that they get even more confidence. And even though we weren't playing great, that was a really good thing that we didn't turn the football over there in the first half. Or, you know, the whole game.
Speaking of punting, Fort Campbell had kind of a unique look when they wanted to punt the football. What's kind of the thought process there? Because they were only lining their punter up about 6 yards back.
Yeah, I don't know. It's you would think they would get it blocked quite a bit, but we didn't see that a whole lot in film, and it is a little bit of a unique deal. Sometimes you'll see that. Some teams will line up with their offense, and then their quarterback may take a couple steps back and punt. But that was a little bit unique. But we had a decent return there, which was good. That may have been in the second half by Xavier.
Yeah, it's just interesting to see that because you have to take one step and kick it. There's not much time to get rid of it, and a lot of teams have gone to the rollout style, which we use a lot, and. Part of the reason I think you do that is to give people time to get down the field and cover that kick.
Yeah, if you watch those guys in college, they do a really good job of if they don't have a lot of pressure, just kind of waiting and kicking. And I think that takes just a little bit of experience because it's not, you want to catch it and get that thing off a lot of times. But yeah, you can kind of get it directionally where you want it to go, and so it's been a decent deal for us and a lot of people, like you said.
You talked about the turnovers last night. None for the Tigers. That's always big. Fort Campbell was forced into 4 turnovers, so that kind of helps flip field position for you too.
Yeah, especially in that second half, had a touchdown, interception return for a touchdown. Gus basically
almost 2. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's basically put you on the 1 yard line. So when you can do those things and turn one into a touchdown, turn one into a red zone opportunity, that obviously helps quite a bit.
One thing we always talk about, that's time of possession, and sometimes it doesn't really mean anything, but last night I thought it meant a whole lot. You guys had the ball for 31 minutes and 28 seconds, and that just left 16 minutes and 32 seconds for Fort Campbell.
Yeah, and that's a good job by our defense. They were 1 of 12 on third down of getting off the field on third down. That's something that we've tried to emphasize over the last couple of weeks, and so that was really good to see. And when you can do that, I think you saw – about middle of the third quarter, they really got worn down on the defensive line and their linebackers, and that's when we were able to kind of really take the game over and start converting into points. And when you can run the football consistently, it may not show up early in the ball game, but when you get in that second half, you wear down people, and Jameis and Landon are physical runners, and they're a load to bring down, and that just wears on a defense as the game goes on.
You guys ran 68 plays last night. 47 of those were runs, 219 yards on the ground, so that's a good night there.
Yeah, my coaching buddy Rick Wood that I coach with at Glasgow, he would be dying laughing that we ran it 47 times. So, that's what we've really been able to do more consistently this year, has been able to run the ball, and we'll continue to do that.
Well, I used to always be amazed because a lot of people would say that we were a pass-happy team or we threw the ball all the time. But when you would actually look at the stats, it'd be about a 50-50 split. And typically every game would be within a couple of, passes or runs of being right there at 50-50.
Yeah, it's funny. I don't remember. It's been a couple of years. I went through the stats and, breaking stuff down, what we did well, what we didn't do well, that type of thing. And I think we were, dead on 50-50.
Yeah.
It was like we had the same amount of passes as we did runs. And you've got to be able to run the ball in high school football. That's the unless you've got just special talent, like Lone Oak when Corey Robinson was there, they could throw it 50 and 60 times a game and still be really successful. But the majority of the time, you've got to be able to run the football. And again, if we can do that like we did in the second half and bring that physicality, we'll be tough to handle come these next few weeks.
Seemed like in the first half last night that the offensive line was opening a few holes here and there, but we just couldn't quite get the timing right. But in the second half, it just seemed like everything came together.
Yeah, and some of it is I took some shots early, in, like first downs, where we got some sacks, and they got some pressure on us early in the ball game. And credit to them, their kids played really hard. But in the second half, it was basically run, and we were able to kind of wear them down there, which was good.
Caldwell County picking up a 31-0 win at Fort Campbell last night down at Fryer Stadium on the Fort Campbell Army base. Tigers now 2-1 in district play. A big district game with Murray coming up next week at Tiger Stadium. We're talking this morning with Caldwell County head coach Will Barnes. This is Saturday Morning Quarterback live from the Biscuit Barn and Ice Cream Eatery on West Main Street. We need to get to a timeout, but we'll be back with more after this here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
What are we going to do? Doctor, will he be okay?
Unexpected happens. Goodwin Insurance Agency has you covered with auto, home, life, commercial, boat, and RV insurance. That way, when the unexpected happens...
Congratulations! It's a girl!
You're covered.
Goodwin Insurance of Princeton, Cadiz, or Marion, or online at insurewithgoodwin.com.
December 10th impacted our community in a way that we will never forget. Much was lost that night, some of which can never be replaced. In the days since, we have witnessed something that can never be taken away. The pride of our community, the resiliency of our people, and their resolve to rebuild. The road to recovery has begun, and Farmers Bank wants to do our part to help those impacted by the storm. Let us walk you through the process with our Rebuild Construction Loan Special. Call us or apply online to get started. This is Jeff McDaniels, Farmers Bank and Trust Company, member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
For 25 years, La Potosina Mexican Restaurant has been your choice for authentic Mexican food. They appreciate your business through the years. Open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner. Pair your favorite meals with your favorite margarita. Enjoy dining in or call in for carryouts. Call 270-365-3848 to place your order. La Potosina Mexican Restaurant with locations in Princeton and Marion. Be sure to follow them on Facebook. And thanks again for 25 great years.
If you're involved in an auto accident, it's your choice where your vehicle is repaired. Some insurance companies refer you to pro shops because they give the insurance company discounts. But with those discounts, the insurance company has input on the parts used and might not always use what is best. At Trice Hughes Body Shop, they're not partnered with an insurance company, but they give the same lifetime limited warranty to the person who owns the vehicle at the time of repairs. Visit Trice Hughes in Princeton for your vehicle repairs.
Learn about your heart health with a simple scan. The Cardiology Clinic at Caldwell Medical Center features a highly trained team of heart health specialists and years of experience in cardiac health and wellness. Our specialists provide a wide range of cardiac-specific services, offering coronary artery calcium testing, stress test, echocardiograms, sleep studies, and more, all right here close to home. To schedule an appointment, visit CaldwellMedical.com.
Tonight,
touchdown, Kentucky!
Coach Stoops and the Cats return home for an SEC East battle under the lights.
Let's go!
South Carolina Gamecocks and your Kentucky Wildcats.
UK battles South Carolina today. All the coverage begins at 4:30 on WKDZRadio.com and
on 106.5 WKDZ.
The Saturday Morning Quarterback Show continues on WPKY. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
We are back at the Biscuit Barn and Ice Cream Eatery on West Main Street. Thanks for tuning in to Saturday Morning Quarterback. The Tigers winning 31-0 at Fort Campbell last night. And we're talking to Tiger head coach Will Barnes about the game. Well, again, we mentioned a big game going down there, and we talked about the big run game coming up in the second half for us last night. And I need to mention Jameis Carnahan. He was a workhorse for you guys last night.
Yeah, and you know, he's playing on every snap defense, every snap offense. He's playing inside linebacker. He's playing running back. Just kind of that old school type player, you know, that and that's kind of how he plays, you know, hard-nosed and does a really good job as a physical player. So had a great game last night on both sides of the ball, had six tackles, and, almost had an interception, and obviously 30 carries, 165 yards. That's a really good night.
Yeah, and we were talking during the break there that of his 165, there wasn't a 70-yard run in there anyplace. That's 5 yards a pop.
Yeah, yeah. He's he does a really good job of in what we're trying to do in our scheme, and he's gotten a better feel for it as the year's gone on. He's gotten a lot better. It's easy sometimes to sit over there and say, well, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? But, 30 carries, 165 yards. It's a pretty good night. And again, that a lot of that goes to our offensive linemen too. Connor King and I know and Brady Holman were really getting after it there in the second half. And I'm sure those other guys were too. I just remember seeing them live. And that's kind of what we've been looking for from a physicality standpoint. Really good to see that. And, really proud of those guys really in the second half responded. And Landon Davis came in and gave us, 4 carries for 23 yards. That's a big deal too. So, he'll maybe be in the mix a little bit more just to take the load off Jameis maybe a little bit. And those two guys are really physical runners.
When's the last time we've had somebody carry the ball 30 times in a game?
Yeah, that's not, I thought you'd have that ready this morning, Todd. But
I need to look that one up. Because I don't remember anybody. We've had some really good running backs going back the last 20 years, and you may have to go back to Gerald Fuqua or a Wayne McGowan.
Yeah, I think Logan probably had some 20 plus carry games last year. I don't remember any 30 plus, and I knew it was getting high last night, and I was getting a little worried about that, but really, I asked Jameis there late. Middle of the fourth quarter, how are you feeling? He said, I'm a little sore, but I can still go. And that's a typical Jameis response. And really proud of Landon Davis for getting in there too. He's playing a lot of defense, and he's playing more on offense this week just with some injuries that we've had. So, he did a really good job along with Luke Maddox.
But you have to go with what's working, right? I mean, that's part of it too.
Yeah, we kind of went more 2 tight ends and 2 backs last night and there in the second half. And, with the box that they were giving us, it was, really more favorable to do that. So, that's kind of what we went to and stayed in really the whole second half.
You mentioned it earlier, though, but once you guys were able to run the football successfully, it kind of opened up a few opportunities in the passing game.
Yeah, we hit the touchdown to Chambliss was wide open because their safeties are starting to try to get involved in the run game because, we're getting 5 and 6 a pop. And then, you can play action and throw behind them for, a really easy touchdown. And then had another opportunity later in the game and just missed it on a third or fourth down, to try to get another score. So that'll definitely help us out going forward if we're able to, throw in some play action pass to help out our passing game.
Yeah, first touchdown of the game came on a little screen pass to Xavier Bumpus that he took into the end zone, was able to get back outside and get some blockers and made a nice run after the catch.
Yeah, and again, that's off our run game. So, when you can run the football, that makes it so much easier offensively to call plays, and you can do so much stuff off of it when you can consistently run the football.
Yeah, it was so difficult to get that first touchdown on the board, but you finally score with 7-11 left in the third quarter, which I think was our second possession of the second half, and then the defense comes up big 46 seconds later.
Yeah, that was a big-time swing there to I felt like we were in control of the game, but you're always a little nervous when it's a 0-0, it's a one-possession game. So getting that interception right after that was a great play by Landon and getting that thing to the end zone to give us a 2-possession lead, and that was a really big deal there in the middle of the third quarter.
Again, a strange situation because I think you guys actually picked off passes on back-to-back plays. You had the Luke Parker interception play, and pass interference or holding. I can't remember which one it was, but I remember mentioning on the radio last night that you never want that penalty and you don't want an interception taken away, but I would sure rather have a defensive back get a holding penalty or pass interference and take the 15 yards than to give up a touchdown because you let somebody run free.
Oh, yeah, definitely. definitely. And, you know, that Luke made a nice play on the interception that the penalty was on to get that ball. And then, you know, it ended up working out because we turned it into a touchdown the next play. So, you know, really good defense. And, you know, they had 68 yards, I think.
Yes. Total yards, 68
yeah,
total
yeah,
yards.
Yeah, that's really good defense and really all night long.
Fort Campbell held to just 5 first downs in the contest, 13 yards rushing, 55 yards passing. Caldwell County with 17 first downs, which I believe is our most this season, 219 rushing yards, 300 total yards. If you look at the stat sheet, I think both teams would probably say, hey, we had 2-minute penalties, but that might be the only negative you guys have on the stat sheet.
Yeah, there were a lot of penalties. A lot. You know, I think we had like 3 holding penalties in a row. So, 21 penalties.
Total, yeah.
Total, yeah. That's a lot of penalties.
And there were a lot of penalties that were declined. You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it seemed like the flags were coming out a whole lot. And on one play, referee threw his flag, then he threw his hat, and I'm like, well, if one more thing happens, I'm not sure what he's going to throw now because he's about out of material over there. But, it was just most of that, I think, came in the first half. It seemed like you guys kind of got a lot of that fixed in the second half.
Yeah, I think overall we played a much cleaner game in that second half and kind of really put it all together. We did some good things in the first half, you know, played really good defense, and really the last couple weeks, really like the way we're playing special teams and covering kicks and returning kicks and punting and field goals and PATs. You know, that those things have really improved from the beginning of the year, and that's really good to see.
Well, one stat you can't argue with, and that's average starting field position, because Fort Campbell's average starting field position was its own 22, so it was kind of deep in its own end most of the night. You guys started on an average at the Fort Campbell 45, so you're in plus territory already.
Yeah, and that's kind of plays into that hidden yardage deal that, you know, people don't really think about, and it doesn't show up on the stat sheet, but when you're starting on their 45 and they're starting on their own 22, that's a big time difference, and really plays a big factor in the game for sure.
9 straight wins over Fort Campbell now, and the Tigers have taken the lead in the all-time series. It's now 19-17 for Caldwell County. And you look at the 31-0 score, and some people might think, well, another easy win against Fort Campbell, but that was a lot better Fort Campbell team, especially defensively. I thought their speed kind of gave us some problems.
Yeah, you're right. And, they've gotten a ton better in a year. And their coach has done a good job. I played with his son at Kentucky Wesley, and they're Clarksville people, and he does a really good job. You know, he's been over there before, and he's coming back to try to get him going, in the right direction. And they've got some athletes and play really hard, and you're right, they gave us some trouble really in that first half defensively.
Seemed like several times we were trying to get on the edge, but like I said, those guys on the outside were just too quick, and they were there in time.
Yeah, and they tackled well. Yeah. and did a really good job. So you got to give them some credit and for having a good plan, and they did a good job executing too.
Got to give your defense some credit though. In the first half, maybe it wasn't always pretty, but they kept getting great field position, and they kept stopping Fort Campbell, and really kept you guys in the game for a half until the offense kind of got rolling there after halftime.
Yeah, that's really a big deal to kind of carry the load, and that's what being a team is about. Is if one phase is a little behind, the other phase has got to really pick it up, and the hope is you kind of get them both, all 3 going at the same time, and I think we did that in the second half, and again, I think we can still watch the film and improve, and I like the direction we're heading. If we'll clean just a few more things up, I think we've got a chance to really finish this season out on a positive note.
We talked about the offensive game that Jameis Carnahan had. He had 6 tackles, which was tops on the team. Gus Fox also had 6 tackles, had a fumble recovery and an interception that he almost returned for a touchdown. Camden Wolford had 6 tackles, and recovered a fumble. So all those guys were getting to the football.
Yeah, and doing a good job of tackling and pursuing and creating turnovers when we could. And you know, that's really good defense, and proud of the way those guys played.
Yeah, we don't always get to talk about those guys. And sometimes the linemen especially kind of go unnoticed. But really felt like you guys were controlling the line of scrimmage, like we said earlier, even in the first half, even though it was still a 0-0 ball game.
Yeah, you're right. I felt like we controlled the game the entire night. It just wasn't showing up until, you know, the second half, and we were able to, you know, get some points on the board and extend that lead. You know, you're right. It's all about the guys up front on both sides of the ball. I felt like for the majority of the first half, we controlled it, and then the second half dominated the line of scrimmage. And when you can do that, you're going to be pretty successful.
Haven't gone back through the stats yet to check this, but Fort Campbell never really threatened last night. I'm not sure how many times they even crossed midfield. So you kind of got the feeling in the first half that we were in good shape unless Fort Campbell busted a big play someplace, that if they were going to score, it was going to be, you know, using a big play.
Yeah, and that's why it's so important when you're controlling the game to – you know, cash in on opportunities. And when you get down inside the 20, you've got to come away with points, because you're right. If it's a 0-0 ball game, all it takes is, you know, one missed tackle on the edge, or, you know, a busted coverage or something like that. And now you're down 7-0 and you feel like you've controlled the whole game. And so, you know, we did, you know, played really solid defense, didn't give up you know, really any big plays. And that was huge in keeping that game scoreless until we kind of got it going in the second half.
I think even Fort Campbell kind of knew what it was up against with its offense, because it seems like when you guys got the first touchdown, there was just a bit of a letdown on the Fort Campbell side. As long as that game was 0-0, they were right there. But like I said, I just detected just a little bit of a letdown, and it seemed like they, once they got down 7-0, they even tried to throw the ball a little bit more, and that played into your guys' hands because you got the pick six.
Yeah, and you know, that's something we talked about, is if it's a tight game, you know, into the second half, they're going to just continue to gain confidence and play a little bit better. You know, that's why we really wanted to try to get out early and get a lead, and kind of like we did against Ballard, but you know, weren't able to do that till the second half. And you know, again, you know, they're doing a good job over there, and those kids play really hard. And, you know, they deserve some credit.
A 31-0 win for Caldwell County at Fort Campbell last night. Tigers now 2-1 in district play. Big game with Murray coming up at home next Friday. Shutout since a 9-0 win at Crittenden County last season. Will, how important is that shutout for the defense?
Yeah, I think that's a big deal to, you know, not allow any points. And really, like you said, they've never threatened. And, you know, they dominated the game, which was really a big deal to keep us in the game, you know, last night. So anytime you get a shutout, you know, that's always a good thing. And hopefully gives us, you know, a little bit more confidence going into next week.
We're talking this morning with Tiger football head coach Will Barnes on Saturday Morning Quarterback, live from the Biscuit Barn and Ice Cream Eatery on West Main Street. We need to get to a break on the show, but we'll come back and talk more about last night's game. We'll look at the district standings and take a look ahead to next week's game against Murray High at Tiger Stadium. Stay with us here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
As a community-owned enterprise, the Princeton Electric Plant Board provides services to the people in the Princeton area. One of the services they provide is to make sure the lights are on over our fields and courts for our Caldwell County Tigers. From everyone at the Princeton Electric Plant Board, good luck to all the Caldwell County Tigers and hopes for a safe season. And a big electric roar to their Tigers, Preston Burrell and Lily Hoare.
Life is filled with moments. Moments we share with those we love, worry about, and strive to protect the most. At Woodman Life, we provide life insurance and retirement products to help protect you and your family so that you can enjoy all the moments to come.
This is Josh Ray, your local Woodman Life agent. Come see us at 1009 West Main Street or give us a call at 365-6111.
Certain eligibility and age restrictions apply. Woodman of the World Life Insurance Society, Omaha, Nebraska.
I think the word has gotten around that Raider Auction Company has four amazing farm equipment auctions each year, but people still say every day.
I didn't know you buy and sell equipment every day.
Well, they do. Delbert Raider has well over 40 years experience. He's well known for his knowledge of used equipment, and he buys and sells every day. Financing available. Stop by Raider Auction Company, Skyline Drive, Hopkinsville. You don't have to wait for an auction.
Do you want to get into the best shape of your life? Okay, let's be honest. You just want to get into some kind of shape? Then now's the time to get to Trilogy Performance Sports and take advantage of their $100 monthly family plan. This offer allows every member of the family living in the house to use the facilities at Trilogy as well as join the classes. What a deal! Don't wait. Get in shape. This offer is only for the month of September. So start exercising now and run to Trilogy Performance Sports to sign up. For more information, go to TrilogyPerformanceSports.com.
The Planters Bank season of giving is underway. You can drop off requested donations at any Planters branch. 12 organizations have requested specific items. The best part? Planters Bank will match the dollar value of every single item donated. Visit Planters Bank's Facebook page or website for more details. You can help local and area charities by making a donation at any branch through Planters Bank's season of giving.
At YourSportsEdge.com, we strive every day to continue to bring you the gold standard in high school sports coverage with more on your teams and your players.
Or did it show up there?
And while they are not gold, those crystal awards we have won for doing what we love to do are pretty cool too.
That's something we see every day.
The Kentucky Broadcaster's Best Digital Product Award winner.
Ball game over.
YourSportsEdge.com.
The Saturday Morning Quarterback Show continues on WPKY. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
Biscuit Barn and Ice Cream Eatery this morning on West Main Street. Tiger football head coach Will Barnes is with us. The Tigers winning at Fort Campbell last night 31-0. A 0-0 game at halftime, but the Tigers pull away in the second half for the win. Caldwell now 2-6 overall, 2-1 in the district, though. And Murray High School coming to Tiger Stadium next week with the number 2 seed for the district on the line. And that comes with a home playoff game if the Tigers can get that one. Well, I want to talk about a couple of former Tigers. First of all, Blake Vivrette, who I think played four different sports at Caldwell County, but he was a kicker for you guys, and he's having a really good year up at Kentucky Wesleyan.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all. I thought, when he decided to go there, they're really lucky to have him. He's a really talented kicker. And, honestly, if they watch him run around any of these, they're probably going to want him to play receiver or something just with how athletic he is. And, obviously we saw how good he was here, but, people may not realize how hard he worked. And from the time he got here as a freshman to the time he left, he spent countless hours on his own kicking and going to camps. And, it's really good when you see guys put the work in and want to be successful, go to the next level and have some success. And they're really fortunate to have him. I know that.
Well, the play at Caldwell that I remember Blake for is over at Trigg County when we had a bad snap on a PAT, and he was able to scoop it up and outrace the defense to the pylon for a 2-point conversion.
Yeah, that's when you got a kicker that can do those types of things, that's really good. And, he probably wanted to start throwing him the ball, too, is probably what he wanted.
Well, at Wesleyan, he already has the third and fifth longest field goals ever for the Panthers. Kicked a 45-yarder last week as Kentucky Wesleyan beat Hillsdale 31-27. He had a 48-yarder the week before. I think he's 3-for-4 on field goals, and he hasn't missed a PAT, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, and that's really good to see. And, he'll probably be in the running for all-conference selection, yeah. I would think. And, I thought when he got to college and he was just kicking and could really devote his time to it that he was just going to explode, and obviously he has. And, really proud of what he's done.
I think he's averaging about 37 yards a punt, too.
Yeah, that's, when you're doing both in college, even at the Division II level. That's a really big deal in being successful at it.
Kentucky Wesleyan is at Quincy, Illinois this afternoon. Will, you played at Wesleyan. How much do you still keep up with the Panthers?
I try to. You know, that whole staff has changed over since I was there. You know, when I played, I had pretty good relationships with those guys, Coach Holskall and some of those other coaches. And, you know, don't really know the staff now as well as the old staff. So I still keep up with them and, you know, talk with buddies that I played with and you know, hope those guys do well.
Well, the people at Kentucky Wesleyan must think we have a kicker factory going down here because Chris Logsdon kicked for them for a couple of years.
Yeah, and Chris played for Brent Holskall, who I played for at Wesleyan. And, you know, Coach Holskall just would rave about, you know, Chris. And so, yeah, Jake Pepper, you know, kicked and punted there too. So, yeah, we've sent him some good special teams players for sure.
Nobody ever kicked the ball harder than Chris Logsdon
did. Oh, gosh, the sound was just – you know, different, you know, and you don't know until you've really heard it, you know, what the sound, how different it is from, you know, other people.
I believe Logsdon still holds the school record with a 54-yard field goal in a playoff game.
Yeah, that was a huge kick, you know, I think right before halftime.
Yeah, maybe the last play of the half.
Yeah, that was, 54 yards, that's crazy.
Yeah, he just killed that ball, and he hit it so hard it almost was a knuckleball from 54 yards out, but I mean, it went right through the uprights, and that's all that counts. So, another former Tiger, and this guy didn't play football, but I want to mention what he did. A lot of college baseball teams are playing fall ball now, fall baseball. Cody Holub, who played soccer and baseball at Caldwell County, his Kentucky Christian team was at Grace Christian in Michigan yesterday playing a doubleheader. All he did was go 5 for 9 with 3 home runs.
Yeah, it's not a bad day.
No, I take that.
Yeah, not bad at all. So that's good for him.
Wish the Cardinals would have had that kind of production yesterday. I wasn't really going to bring that up, but man, what a meltdown in the ninth inning. But today's another day, still alive.
Yeah.
At least it's not a one-game wild card thing this year. You at least got 3 games. So my St. Louis Cardinals at least have a chance today to get back in that thing.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody took that harder than Mitchell Harrelson yesterday. But now hopefully they'll get a win. I think Mitchell's going to the game today, so maybe he'll bring them some good luck.
Bob Hayes was on the broadcast with us last night, and we just didn't even want to look at each other when we got there. That's the way it goes. A big game for Kentucky today. The Kentucky Wildcats hosting South Carolina. What's your thoughts on that game?
With the Will Levis injury, that kind of throws a wrench in it. You know, I think this was kind of a game where, you know, they were definitely favored and definitely, you know, a game they could dominate. But, you know, without Will Levis, assuming
they say game time decision was the last I saw.
You know, and just kind of looking and, you know, watching him, you know, I think if there's any way he could go, he's going to play. You know, for a guy to play through that finger injury last week was crazy.
Well, it was kind of bent the wrong way, but they got it back in place.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting. You know, if he doesn't play, I think they're going to go with the Kaya Sharon, which is the kid from Somerset. So that's pretty neat to see a Kentucky kid, you know, start at quarterback and hope they do well and get a win tonight.
Tough loss at Ole Miss last week, but those things happen in the Southeastern Conference. What you have to make sure you do, and I guess this is at every level, don't let one loss become 2 or 3 losses. You got to put that one behind you and get ready to play for the next one.
Yeah, because, you know, they can still, you know, have a really good season, but you're right, you can't let one loss turn into two. And, you know, I think they're kind of in a different spot than they've been in previous years. You know, they've withstood injuries and you know, still been competitive. So I think the whole mindset is a little bit different.
Yeah.
So I expect them to play pretty well tonight.
Getting back to high school football, there were some interesting scores last night, although not a lot of scores. It seemed like a lot of people had the night off, but several teams going down to Tennessee. I mentioned that technically we were in Tennessee at Friars Stadium. So even though it's Fort Campbell, Kentucky, the stadium is actually on the Tennessee side of the line. Crittenden County went down to Gallatin, and overcame a 14-0 halftime deficit to defeat Liberty Creek 28-14.
Yeah, I obviously have no idea about Liberty Creek.
I think they're a new school.
I don't know. Somebody was talking about them. Maybe knew somebody down there or something, and had really nice facilities.
Yeah, that's what
stuff.
I heard. Yeah.
So anytime you can go somewhere like that, and travel to Tennessee and in a hostile environment probably and get a win and come back, that's a good win.
It's been a while, but I remember we went down to West Creek, was it? Not West Creek, West Carroll.
Okay,
play the game. Yeah.
I think the COVID year, I kind of talked with somebody in Tennessee, and it ended up, it was like going to be a 4-hour trip, and it was like Wednesday. We were going to try to play Saturday and just couldn't get it worked out. But I don't know about going to Tennessee to play unless you absolutely have to. I think that's what happened to them. I think
they had a team from Pennsylvania on the schedule at one point.
I think some things fell through there, and they Crittenden had Hancock on the schedule last year. I don't know if it was this week or a different week, and Hancock I think just dropped them in the middle of a cycle.
Wow.
Which was kind of really put you in a bad position.
I remember the trip down to Tennessee because the team we played, I believe it was West Carroll, they were scheduled to come here on 9/11.
Oh wow.
And that actually pushed the game back a day. It was actually played on a Saturday night when they came here. So that was, 2001?
Yeah.
And then we went down there the following year and got two wins out of it. And that was a situation where maybe we were scheduled to play Muhlenberg North or somebody, and they backed out late. And then you're just looking all over the place trying to find anybody with an open date that's common to yours so you can try to get a game in.
Yeah, that's no fun, I can tell you that.
I think Gary Goodacre had a hand in finding that. He went through all the schedules, and I believe Pat Gates was the head coach, and we actually found that we're like, hey, this team's got open dates the same time we do, and they were able to work it out.
That's not surprising at all.
We actually got a game. This is Saturday Morning Quarterback. We are live from the Biscuit Barn and Ice Cream Eatery this morning. Tiger head coach Will Barnes with us. Tigers again winning at Fort Campbell 31-0 last night. We need to get to a break. Back with more after this here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Hello, I'm Jason Redford, Community President, First Southern National Bank. When First Southern National Bank says, "We believe in you," it means we also believe certain things about you. We believe that you want to live a life of margin, where you can balance spending, saving, and giving. We believe that you want to make wise financial decisions to enable that kind of living. Because we believe in you, we are here for you every step of the way. Visit fsmb.net to learn more. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Fortner Gas Company has been serving the propane needs of Western Kentucky for 70 years. You'll find offices in Princeton and Cadiz. They're your local and family-owned propane supplier. Browse their website to discover the many services and products available. You can shop in person or online, and they can answer any and all questions in person or on the phone. If they're already your propane supplier, they say thank you. If they're not, they would love to be. Fortner Gas Company, a family tradition of service since 1951.
Hi, this is Daniel Ingram with H&R AgriPower. Take care of your property with equipment you can count on, like the Kubota BX and L-Series compact tractors, part of our under 100 horsepower tractor lineup rated number one for reliability, and Z-Series mowers and Sidekick utility vehicles where durability meets speed. Visit H&R AgriPower, your local Kubota dealer, for a demo today.
Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Take a test drive at your Kubota dealer. H&R AgriPower, Eagle Way, Hopkinsville.
KFC Princeton, offering their amazing fried chicken and all the fix-its. You can dine in or call your order for pickup inside or use their convenient drive-thru. Your local KFC is located on the Marion Road in Princeton. Whether you enjoy a quick lunch or take dinner home or maybe take something to a friend in need, they're always ready to help. They're also looking for team members at KFC. Ask about becoming a member of their team. KFC on the Marion Road, where they appreciate your support and they are Princeton strong.
When we say
classic hits,
we mean
I just died in your arms tonight. 8675309. All right now.
Benny on the Jets.
My eat is well.
listen to WPKY worldwide at
WPKYonline.com. WPKY.
The Saturday Morning Quarterback Show continues on WPKY. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
We are at the Biscuit Barn and Ice Cream Eatery this morning. Tiger head coach Will Barnes is with us, and we started going through some scores last night, and the big district score that we're kind of interested in, Murray over Ballard Memorial Big. We kind of expected that. 56-8 was the final. It was 49-0 at halftime. So, Will, you guys kind of have that showdown coming up now with Murray next week.
Yeah, big game, and they've got a good football team, and they'll have a good plan when they come up here, and so we'll have to have a really good week, and glad we're at home, and we'll have to really be ready to play next Friday.
We were talking about teams going to Tennessee. Paducah Tillman went to Paris last night but lost to Henry County 24-20. Hopkins Central picked up a win, big over Callaway County, 54-14. Logan County beat Madisonville, 35-18. Couple of Thursday games, McLean County over Hancock County, 21-14. Owensboro Catholic beat Butler County, 35-12. And, Will, that kind of throws the second district into a little turmoil in the standings now, because we figure Owensboro Catholic is going to be the number one seed over in the second district. But right now, when you look at 2, 3, and 4, McLean, Hancock, and Butler are all tied, and they've all beaten each other.
Yeah, all those teams are really similar, I think. Just kind of, I haven't seen any of them, but just who they played and what the scores have been, and just kind of historically, knowing them, I think they're all pretty similar. And so I think it'll probably come down, some of that may come down to RPI.
Yeah.
So I think McLean and Hancock are pretty highly rated. Like top 5 or top 10 RPI teams. So that'll be interesting to see how that shakes out.
Well, and it feels like one way or another, whether we're at home or on the road, we're going to see one of those three, McLean County, Hancock County, or Butler County, in the first round.
Yeah, that's a weird, not a weird district, but it's a competitive district.
Yeah.
And you don't really know how all that's going to shake out, and it's not real clear cut. So, that'll play out over the next couple of weeks, and which will be good. It'll give us a little time to try to get some film and try to get an idea of what we're going to go against.
I don't anticipate the first district coming down to any RPI tiebreakers. It really looks like Mayfield is going to be the number one seed. I mean, anything can happen on any Friday night, but right now I think Mayfield is probably safe as the number one. Then you've got Caldwell and Murray. Whoever wins next week is going to be number two. The loser is going to be number three. And then I believe Fort Campbell still has a home date with Ballard Memorial. The winner of that one's going to get in the playoffs, and the loser is not.
Yeah, and that'll be a good game. I think Fort Campbell's probably got a good chance there. And this whole district thing will shake out over the next couple of weeks and really become more clear.
The RPI is an interesting thing, though, because, like I said, you look at the other district, and it seems like all those teams are ranked really high in the state in the RPI, and I don't know if that's just because they all have several wins, if they've beaten some schools that are larger. I know beating a 5A or a 6A school carries more weight than a 1A school, so it's just kind of interesting how the RPI shakes out sometimes.
Yeah, I think they all, their schedules are all very similar. I think they all play Grayson County, who's a bigger school. They all play Ohio County, who's a bigger school. They all play Muhlenberg County, which is all kind of in that area, which is a bigger school. So if you play those teams and win, regardless of what their record is, you get a little bump in the RPI. And I do like the RPI, but I do think there's got to be some tweaks.
Yeah.
Just going down and playing these Tennessee teams, they're all considered 500 teams regardless of what their records are. So.
And regardless of whether they're a big school or a small school.
Yeah, so, there probably needs to be some tweaks, but I do like the idea of the RPI.
It certainly makes it a lot easier when you start trying to figure out how to break those ties, because the old way when you were counting – opponents' victories, and it's confusing. It just seemed like it was really tough to come up with the tiebreaker sometimes.
Yeah, I agree. It's a better way to do it, for sure, to break those ties. And I like the aspect of matching teams up by it as well, where, I was just reading about Boyle County because their coach is Justin Haddocks, and he's a good friend. And, you know, they got beat last night against Lexington Catholic, and those two teams are in the same district, and they're 1-2 in the RPI. And the way it shakes out is if it finishes 1-2, you know, they could avoid each other to the finals, which, I think is a good thing. If you've got two teams that, you know, are the top two teams, and, you know, they should play in the finals. So, I do think matching teams up based on the RPI is a good idea.
To try to simplify it, though, for Caldwell County fans, again, if you win next week, you're probably at home in the first round. I would say that's a good chance. If you lose, you're on the road. And one way or another, we're either going to host McLean, Hancock, or Butler, or go to one of those places.
Yeah, I guess I don't know who plays who the next couple weeks, but it'll probably be maybe 2 weeks before we really know what it's going to be.
I'm not sure if one of those teams still has Owensboro Catholic on their schedule, and I'm not sure how that would affect their RPI if they were to lose to OCAP.
It seems like McLean hasn't played Catholic, so that's got to be a game either next week or the week after, but I think the other two have.
Caldwell County winning 31-0 at Fort Campbell last night. And as we've talked the last couple of weeks, that sets up the big showdown next week with Murray High School out at Tiger Stadium, 7 o'clock game time. And the winner is probably going to get that number 2 seed and get that home field advantage in the first round of the playoffs. Will, what do you kind of know about Murray High?
We've got, a couple films on them. We watched them against Union, watched them against Fort Campbell, and it seems like maybe another game. But they've got a good football team, really well coached. Coach Bowling is their coach down there in the second year. And, he was a really successful coach in Tennessee, won state championships. And so he does a great job with their program. And they've run a very unique scheme that you don't see very much anymore. Preparation-wise, it's really difficult to simulate in practice. So we've got to watch a lot of film because, again, we can give a little bit of a look in practice, but you just can't simulate running option in practice with kids that have never ran option. So it'll be a really important week as always, but really when you aren't used to doing those things, it's hard to get a look. So watching film and walkthroughs and those types of things are going to be really important, which means you have to have really good focus because it's easy to kind of zone out during those types of things.
Yeah, one thing, they're not going to put the ball in the air a whole lot. The tweet of the week last week when they played at Fort Campbell was one of the guys from the Murray Ledger and Times, Steve Springer, who covers the Murray football team, said Murray was using its air raid offense. They had thrown it 5 times.
Yeah, so when you said that last week, we watched the film, and I think, it may be all of them, but at least 3 or 4 of them, I think were just, they had like a little receiver that was uncovered, and they were just throwing a swing. So it was basically, might as well have been toss sweep. So, it wasn't a whole lot of down the field throwing.
Well, you guys get back to a more normal routine for practice this week?
Yeah, going back to school, and then, every game since the Union County game, we've had like something going on pregame, whether it's homecoming or a senior night or our homecoming. So, this will be the first time where we'll do a normal warm up and go out at a normal time and that kind of thing.
Last night at Fort Campbell, it was senior night. It's the first time I've actually heard them come across the PA and tell the football teams to get off the field so they can have senior night.
Yeah, I don't think, it was, my watch said 6:24, and they told us we needed to be off at 6:25, so we were off at 6:25.
Caldwell County with a big win at Fort Campbell last night, 31-0. Next week, we've got Murray coming out of Tiger Stadium. Will, congratulations on the win last night down at Fort Campbell, and good luck to you guys getting ready for Murray this week.
Thanks, Todd. I appreciate it.
That's Tiger football head coach Will Barnes. The Tigers 2-1 in district play. Again, Murray is coming to town next Friday night. That's going to wrap us up this morning from the Biscuit Barn and Ice Cream Eatery on Saturday Morning Quarterback. This is Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and YourSportsEdge.com. Thanks a lot for joining us here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
You've been listening to the Saturday Morning Quarterback Show with your host, Todd Griffin. For high school sports news from across the area, go to YourSportsEdge.com.
WPKY Princeton.